Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Stoney Stone, and I'm coming to you live from home. And I am doing something that I'm passionate about. I am on the radio, and I am talking about something that is very, very dear to me tonight. I hope that you guys had a wonderful, I think today's Tuesday, and I hope that everything that you set out to do today, you have reached your heart's desire. And as we know that in Atlanta this week, we all, some are mourning the loss of Bishop Eddie Long of New Birth Baptist Church. And I have had a chance to sit in a couple of his services, and I have greatly enjoyed, I would call it, motivational speaking. And the title of my show tonight is called Fall from Grace and the Preacher's Wife. And we're all, you know, a lot of people are, when they're blogging or YouTubing, they're talking about Bishop Eddie Long. However, no one is talking about Mrs. Long. And that is basically my topic tonight, the pastor, the wife, the church, and the congregation. And, you know, when a pastor decides that he wants to accept the calling that you believe, or he has believed that God has called him to lead a flock to the Lord, that is a very heavy responsibility. It is one that is greatly adored by many who are onlookers, because it's a challenge each day. Excuse me. When you become a pastor or a bishop or a reverend, any leader within the church community, you have taken on the role of taking and saving people's lives and redirecting the course of their lives and changing their thought process. Because to follow someone, you have to be obedient and you have to be a servant. And to be a pastor or to be a bishop, you must understand that people who decide to follow you and be obedient to you basically are trusting you that you are doing and the word of God, that you are practicing every single thing that you are standing in the pulpit and that you are preaching. I grew up in the church, and religion for me is a very, very touchy subject. And as you know, Bishop Long was accused in 2010 of molesting these young teenagers. And I sat and I listened to one of the gentleman's accusations against Mr. Long, and it brought tears to my eyes, because my mother, when my father left when I was two, she went to the church, and it's called the Perfect Church, which still exists in Atlanta, Georgia, on McDaniel Street. And my mother trusted these people with her life and her child's life. And my mother died not knowing that I was molested by the deacon in the church. So when I heard this, it brought tears to my eyes, because I realized that I not only had been molested by the deacon, I had been molested by the babysitter. I had also, you know, it just went on and on. But when you are ashamed and you cannot talk about what is going on in the church because everybody is so busy saying praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus, that you begin to think that it is okay that when you go and you put up your right index finger to be excused, to walk out of the door, to go to the ladies' room. And I'm just a young kid. I'm about 12 or 13. And before I can come back in the door, you know, or whatever he was, the door holder, takes me by my face all the time and just kiss me, touch my breast. Would you not consider that child molestation? And then when my mother has to go to work, the young lady that she leaves me with molests me. I have my first orgasm with a woman. So when you, in the church, and people are trusting you as their leader to lead them to Christ, and because you have not dealt with your own demons, you take it upon to spread that demonic force to other people. And then as you are going 6 feet under, the world is still with people who have been touched by you in some kind of way, in a negative way. But you're still saying, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. I'm emotional tonight because I just had to share a piece of me with you. One, because I am always honest. I have nothing to hide from anyone. Every day I wrestle with the demons within, from the molestation, from daddy leaving, from the hurt to the church, running away from home, from one bad decision after the next. But I refuse to allow my demons to spread to someone else. So I consume them and I eat them and I overeat them. And I pray about them. Because what the world is doing and what people are doing, they have these demonic forces that have been played upon them. And instead of dealing with those emotional baggages and those emotional traumatic experiences, they carry that torch and they pass it to someone else. But I refused to pass that torch to someone else. I got help. I understood. And I hate that I couldn't tell my mother, because I had to explain to her that her brother tried to molest me. So it was hard for me to be able to tell her that the man that she trusted at the door of the church did it to me too, and the lady that she left me with did it to me too. So I don't judge anyone, and I don't judge if this did happen with Eddie Long. I don't know. But when I heard that gentleman's statement, and I'm still emotional today, because I don't understand why someone would want to come out to say that, because that is the most horrific thing to remember. And no matter how much therapy you get and how much prayer you get, that will always come back to service for you. So I hope that the gentlemen who went through whatever they've gone through, I hope that they continue to, because it's a healing process. And they may never heal from that. Never, because I am 44 years old. And I have not healed from that, no matter how many therapists I talk to know how many prayers I have said. The church needs to stop camouflaging God and ruining people's lives. They need to stop it. I am a believer of Jesus. I am a believer of Christ. I am a believer that you should fellowship in church. However, the most horrific and the most demonic people get dressed on, and I'm not being judgmental, so if I am and if you are a churchgoer, I am not trying to offend you if you're listening to me. I am only saying that I have experienced that the most horrific people get dressed and go to church on Sunday, and they praise the Lord, and they have done the most demonic things that the Bible say not to do, and then get up to worship and praise God and pray with you and lay hands on you and continue to spread that feverish madness of demonic force throughout the community, the church community. So there will be probably more preachers falling from grace, more exposure, because they're not going to be able to continue the facade of praise the Lord, hallelujah, God has been good. And then there are homosexuals and molesters and fornicators and all of those things that the Bible said that we're not supposed to do and that we are. I have great love still, because no man is perfect. No man, and we all fall short by the glory of God, and we all make mistakes. However, when we continue to dwell within the things that we know are wrong, or we continue to do things and go, oh, well, I can ask God for forgiveness on Thursday, but I'm going to beat Sheila up on Wednesday night. Lord, forgive me. That is when it becomes a sin, because you know what you're doing, and you have assumed the position that if I commit this sin or this crime or this act, I can still fall on my knees and I can ask the good Lord for forgiveness. So it's okay if I'm a homosexual, as long as I pray Saturday night before I get in the pulpit on Sunday. And then I'm going to do it again. And then you're praying with the Lord. But I am not the person to judge, because you do not stand before me. We all have to stand before Christ. No matter if you believe that or not, judgment day will come for all of us. And we will have to. So the only thing that I am, my show is tonight is the church. The church should be the foundation where people seek refuge from the world, from all of the demonic things that we face on a day-to-day basis. The church should be our covenant and our refuge, so that we can seek solace and peace and fellowship with people that are like-minded and that are in agreement and on the same page with us. But it appears that Satan is moving more into the covenant as opposed to out in the world. And he's camouflaging behind the word of God. And he is bringing people to the covenant to pray and to worship. And he's manipulating the word of God for his advantage, which is not an appropriate thing to do. We're going to continue to have a wave of counterfeit preachers and counterfeit religion if this does not stop. Who will monitor the church? Who will oversee that everything being done accordingly? Who will oversee the church to make sure that everything is done to accordingly? Someone needs to. Someone definitely needs to. Because you have mega churches such as New Birth, T.D. Jakes Church, the one which is the Potter's House. You have of course, different churches around the world that have these mega churches. They're collecting all of this money. What are they doing with the money that they're collecting from all of their 25,000, 30,000 members? Is the church doing with this money? Buying jets and going on vacation and Jaguars and mansions? Bishop Eddie Long, heaven was on earth. He lived in heaven. Everything that he wanted, he had it here on earth. I pray that he had the opportunity, because he knew that he was dying. I pray that he made it right with the Lord. That is an opportunity that I hope everybody gets, because when Judgment Day comes, you want to be able to hear him say, "Well done." You do not want to hear him say, "You treated the lady at the office mean because what? She smiled every day? She was happy? You treated the guy in line wrong because he was white? He wasn't brown? You can't get into heaven because you molested that little boy or that little girl and you didn't deal with your own issues?" So I pray that everyone, and not just Bishop Eddie Long, get that chance to fall to their knees and to get that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to repent. And if you have done someone wrong on this earth, seek forgiveness from that individual. It is nothing like having a peaceful transition. It's nothing like that. To know that when you close your eyes, and if you go tonight, where will you go? I know where I will go. I'm not ready yet, but I know where I will end up. I'm on the radio. And so my thing is that life takes us through so many journeys and through so many things. And you have to be prepared for the roller coaster. And sometimes you're not prepared, because when that dip comes and you don't know that dip is coming, you feel it. But when you assume the position of congregation and ministering the word of God, there comes a level of expectancy from that audience that you're being honest and you're being truthful to them, and that you care enough about them and their well-being to love them enough to always be truthful and to take care of their emotional needs and always reaching out to them as though they are also reaching out to you. So I hope that the church gain a new pastor, one that will heal that congregation for those that truly believe and those that are faithful to that church. And I pray that there be some more disorganization in a positive manner for that church, and that they abide by the Holy Bible from A to Z in its teachings and humbleness and no deviation, but just going by the Word of God. No one talks about the preacher's wife. And I sympathize with her. I do. Vanessa, Miss Vanessa Long married Bishop Long in 1990. She is giving him 4 children in the best years of her life. No one knows what their marriage was like. I watched a video of her speaking about him. Come in. I'm trying to tell you what I'm doing. And no one talks, you know, no one is talking about her and what she's, you know, has gone through. And my condolences are to her and her children. But as a preacher's wife, and as they would call it, a first lady of the church, everybody's eyes are on her. Her smile, her walk, her move. She's the first lady. She's the preacher's wife. Is she having a bad day? Is she happy? Is the bishop making her happy? Is their marriage happy? What's really going on? So, the preacher's wife, the first lady of the church, has a tremendous role as a leader, as a woman, a major role. Because all eyes are on the first lady, from the way she sits, speaks, how she handles her children, how she shakes her hand, how she smiles. All eyes are on this woman. So can you imagine when the scandal breaks out and all of these people are talking about her husband sleeping with little boys and men? If that is true, this woman knew. Because after, when you're dealing with this type of magnitude of richness and money, it becomes a loveless marriage, I'm almost sure. It becomes more of a business arrangement. So during the scandal, she decides that she wants to divorce him, and then she pulls back, and then she goes and files a divorce again. But she was smart, very smart, because I would not have divorced him. I would not have, because at this point, I signed up 25 years before, for better or worse, for richer or poorer. But I didn't sign up for scandal. So, but still at this point, it becomes a business arrangement for me if I was the first lady. So the smart move is for me to take my things and move to another bedroom and keep my distance from you and find solace and peace and ask God to help you deal with whatever you're going through. But as a first lady, this woman also needs someone she can talk to, because she is, the world that she knows is crumbling from around her. It's crumbling. It had crumbled. So the only thing she could do was stand in the midst of the storm. But as I heard her say, she was tired. She was absolutely tired. I can't imagine people talking about her. Why are you staying with him? You know he's this way. You know this. You know that. But at some point, it had to become what is beneficial for her in a financial matter, as opposed to being a widow, as opposed to being a divorcee. There's a great difference. So I feel that the first lady made the right move. And although I'm sure she knew the truth, and although I'm sure her and her husband had many countless conversations, he owed her that. If Bishop Eddie Long didn't owe anyone on this earth any answer, he owed Vanessa Long the truth, because that was his wife and the mother of his children. So if anybody that he had to look in the eye, and when she asked him the truth, so that she could be at peace and so that she could know, and I'm sure that he loved her enough, tell her the truth. And she'll probably take it to her grave. So the only thing that I know is that when you are married and you're in the church, you're always under attack. Your relationship is always being watched because of your relationship is always watched. It's always under scrutiny because you are the first family. But no one tonight knows the pain that lady is going through. And everybody's making jokes about her husband, her, you know, what has happened. And although those accusations may be true, they may be. Only her, him, and God know. And if they are true, again, I hope that he had a chance to get delivered and ask for forgiveness. So tonight, guys, I want to thank you so much for listening. And when you are blind and you seek help and you seek God and you don't know him and you have the blind leading you, the Bible says, let the blind lead the blind, and they both shall fall in the ditch. So the only thing that I can say tonight is seek God for yourself so that you will be able to know the wolves that come before you in sheep's clothing, and so that you'll be able to manifest the word of God through prayer, through the scripture, and knowing him and having the discernment to recognize the foolishness when you hear it and when you see it. Asking people to pray for you, pray for yourself, and ask him to give you wisdom, discernment, and knowledge to know him when it comes before you and not to know him when it comes before you. That is my best advice. And I do believe that being the first lady has many beautiful advantages because you get to lead women to Christ. You get to talk to women and you get to bear your soul and connect with these women and bring them to Christ. I believe that is the most positive thing, attribute that a first lady of any church could do, is minister to the women in that church and those that have come to the church, teach them about the good Lord about a healthy lifestyle and a lifestyle of goodness in God and not being judgmental, because some people have yet to be taught about the Lord. I have a caller, and I am going to try to take this call. I am having technical difficulties, so let's see here. Hello, caller. Are you there? Hello, can you hear me? Hello, caller. Are you there?
Get the hell up.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'm going to disconnect my caller. I do not think that I could hear them or they could hear me. I heard them for a moment, but they couldn't hear me. But I hope that my message tonight about the church and about the congregation, I hope, and I know that it's going to take time for the church to heal. But I just want to say that being or becoming a pastor's wife is one of those situations in which we can see God working in an amazing way. Because to be a pastor's wife, you have to really make true sacrifices, and you have to really, really love people and want to be of service to others. And not, this is a position that you cannot fake. You can't fake this position because it will show. So I just wanted to, you know, to talk about what was going on this week with the bishop leaving us here in Atlanta, with those accusations so many years, well, it hasn't been so many years ago, and being a leader in the church and how the bishop left us with so many questions, and how, as a leader, he lied to us, not just the congregation, but to the world. And we as followers, not because we didn't go to his church every Sunday, but because we were true followers of him, not to make a mockery of him or the situation, however, but to listen to his empowering words. If you go to YouTube, they have a list of his sermons there. And I sometimes, you know, when I'm in the house or whatever, I just listen to him and I hear him speak, because he had so many encouraging words. He had so many encouraging words. So if you get a chance to check him out on YouTube, listen to him without being judgmental, because we all, like I said, fall short. And we all have things that have not been addressed within us that has caused issues within our lives. So never judge anybody because they drink, because they overeat, because they're a pathological liar. Something has happened in their life that has triggered these demonic forces that people may have not had a chance to address, because they are afraid. They allow fear of people being judgmental. And Christian people are the most judgmentalist. because they're always looking, because they feel that they have been delivered. They are the most judgmental people, and talking down and doing just what the Bible said do not do, gossiping, backbiting, lying on people, ridiculing others, putting them down, all of those things. So I'm going to end early tonight. I had an hour long. I thought I was going to be able to receive phone calls, but it looks like I'm not going to be able to. And I just wanted to say that love makes the world go round. And I remember seeing an episode of Bishop the other night when he said that because of love, he was able to stay here this much longer. So because somebody loved him enough to not judge him for whatever accusations had been said, he was still here with us on earth a little bit longer. So tonight, tomorrow, I'm asking you not to judge someone, not to put someone down. I get it all the time. I have a past. And people, when they find out I have a past, they want to look down on me. But don't judge me. I have asked God for forgiveness. I have asked God, and God has punished me for the thing that I've done. So it comes a time when people have to stop tooting their nose up at other people because they made a poor choice in life, because they were driven by a demonic force that they did not have the power to say no to. The choices that you make that are so overpowering that you do not have the power to say no to is because of a demonic force that you have not been able to strap up the armor of God, able to withstand the principalities of the evil of the world. So whether you are a first lady, a bishop, a deacon, the teacher in the church, the usher, if you do not have the full armor of God, and if you have not dealt with those demonic forces that dwells within, child molestation, stealing, lying, killing, whatever the case may be, you will continue to pass that torch on to other people until you stand before God and look in the mirror and check yourself for deliverance and pray for yourself and repent. No matter who you are. Thank you for joining me tonight. This has been Stoney's Radio. It has been an emotional conversation for me. However, the reason why I do this radio is because I want to give a piece of me to you wholeheartedly. No BS. No fakeness, no lies, no hiding, the truth. And remember, the truth shall set you free. And that's all of us. When we recognize the truth, we shall all be free. Have an awesome night, an awesome morning, an awesome day. Whenever you hear this, may your world turn to greatness and love. Until the next time, good night.